Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. If you're a return listener, we thank you for being part of our growing listening family worldwide. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area here in Florida and North America, we would invite you to come and worship with us on the second floor of Embassy Suites Hotel where we are meeting. And you come as you are. You're welcome to come and celebrate Jesus with us. Here's something from the Word of God that will give you courage and strength to not just survive the end times and the last days, but to actually thrive within those conditions that are so negative, so distracting, so discouraging. And yet we have a promise of God that we're going to be kept by the power of God all the way till the day of redemption. Speaking of redemption, we're going to be talking about that today again and again and again and again until Jesus our Redeemer comes. Today I want to speak to you on the subject, the ransom paid, the prisoner set free. The ransom paid and the prisoner set free. Romans 3 and verse 24 is our basic scripture today, and we'll read other scriptures, Old and New Covenant, but listen to it carefully. Being justified freely by His grace. Justified here is a forensic term. It means that we have been acquitted, that we are legally before God in the high court of heaven. We have been acquitted. Praise God. And therefore we're free of the fear of the wrath to come or the judgment to come. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. This word for redemption here is to ransom in full. I love the scripture in 1 Peter where it says we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot or without blemish. Dear friend of mine, today we have been ransomed. A price has been paid to buy us back from that prison house of darkness that would lead to an eternal prison, a place called hell where there is penal imprisonment, a banishment from the presence of God, and punishment eternally. This is something to appreciate today. I really believe if we don't understand the consequences of not coming to Jesus Christ, we can't fully appreciate what it means to be saved today. I meet many Christians down through the years that it's kind of a given. Yeah, I received Jesus way back then. He's my Savior. You know, He paid the price on the cross. It's kind of yada, yada, yada to a lot of people. It's not yada, yada, yada. It's hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. What it means to be saved from the wrath to come and safe from the wrath to come. To be reconciled unto God so we don't have to fear the judgment to come. It's appointed unto man once to die, the scriptures declare, and after this the judgment. And that's a fearful thing. The Bible actually says it biblically, scripturally. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What does that mean? It means to face Him as our judge instead of our Savior. The one who is going to give us what we justly deserve because we have all sinned against Him. We've all broken His laws. The Bible said we've all. There's none good. None. No, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good. No, not one. And without a Redeemer paying the ransom price that we could be reconciled to God, that we could be, in a very real sense, set free from Satan's prison house of darkness and deception, we would be lost forever, hopelessly lost. But thank God, because of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, this ransom paid in full. It means also riddance. It means deliverance. Dear friend, without redemption, the other great words that describe our condition and position after being saved would be absolutely of none effect. If sin's debt is not paid in full, it's not paid at all. And we are not saved. We are not justified. And if we're not justified, we cannot be sanctified. If we still owe a sin debt, we are enslaved by Satan. We are the enemies of God. We are not able to enter into any kind of fellowship relationship with God. We have no authority. We cannot be righteous before God. We cannot have faith in God. We could never approach God's throne with confidence. We would be filled with doubt and fear and hopelessness. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ has brought us redemption. Someone said, and I love this, it's very true theologically, redemption plays a central role in biblical theology. The basic shape of the doctrine is formed in the Old Testament, but the full meaning of all that God has had eternally in mind is unveiled only in the New Testament. There are three Hebrew words that really tell us about redemption in the Old Covenant and how it came into its full revelation and realization in the New Covenant. Let's look at them. The first one is pada actually in the Greek. It's a primary root, and it means to sever, in effect, to ransom. It was used commercially to indicate a transfer of ownership. The transfer came through a payment of some equivalent transaction. The price has been paid in full by Jesus Christ, dear friend, for you and me. He said it on the cross, tetelestai. Translate one word translated in three English words so we would grasp its meaning without changing, adding to, or taking from that meaning. And it simply means it is accomplished, or in the financial sense, paid in full. We were Satan's property as slaves. Now, because of redemptive love, we belong to the Lord. It also means to buy back. It means at one point God owned all creation, including fallen man before the fall. But we fell and Satan became our little g God. And he imprisons us in a prison of darkness. The God of this world blinds the minds of men lest they would see the glory of the gospel and be saved or delivered or set free. Ah, but he sent Jesus to buy us back. Hallelujah. To pay our sin debt in full, in effect, to ransom us so we could go free. And the New Testament's very clear. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's look where this word is used in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8. It says, because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath we have sworn unto your fathers, the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We are severed, amen, from Satan and sin's bondage, set free to serve God. Set free to serve God. God's people knew that they were a people who had been delivered by God's intervention and were His unique possession. Before coming to Jesus, we all belonged to Satan. He had a claim on us. John 8:44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. One translation says, you belong to your father, the devil. This ownership gave Satan great influence and advantage to hold in bondage and servitude. Ephesians 2, verse 2 says it this way. Chapter 2, listen carefully. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now that we've come to Jesus, we've been set free, dear friend. There has been a transfer of ownership that severs us from the devil's power and authority. Colossians 1 verse 13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I like the Amplified. It said the Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Right now, we belong to God if you're a true Christian, and we are free to serve Him. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Ephesians 1:13, the last part. It says, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, hallelujah, until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see, Satan got an ownership over us when the fall came, but Jesus came to buy us back and reconcile us to God. This word sealed here means to stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation. The sealing process establishes ownership and absolutely assures authenticity. Glory to God. Amen. The second word that we want to talk to you about is Gaal. Gaal. It means to redeem by the oriental law of kinship. It places the emphasis on the relationship between the redeemer and the redeemed, literally a kinsman redeemer. Listen, Exodus 6:6, let's read it together. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem, that's that word, the second word in the Hebrew, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. Remember Isaiah 53? To whom is the arm of the Lord? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Redemption from Egypt was not only an act of purchase, but was an act of a kinsman moved by love. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Someone had said it this way, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that He might make the sons of men sons of God. The book of Ruth in the Old Testament is the beautiful portrait of a kinsman redeemer. Listen to it. Deuteronomy 25, beginning with verse 5 and 6. It said, if brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her to his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, and his name shall be not put out of Israel. Boaz married Ruth and thus became her kinsman redeemer. The son of this marriage, Obed, the father of Jesse, who was also the father of David, King David, Redemption reveals a helpless humanity, and a redemption affirms a God's love who causes him to take the part of the near kinsman. Hallelujah. The third word in the Old Covenant is kopher, translated ransom again from kaper, to make an atonement. The word has to do with the price of our redemption. Isaiah 43:3 says, "For I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." Listen, friend of mine, Christ is given for our ransom in the New Testament. The deaf have a sign for Jesus. The middle finger of each hand is placed in the palm of the other. Jesus, the one with the pierced hands. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19 says it so very clearly. "For as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The word here, redeemed, in the Greek is lithron, and it's literally ransom, found only three times in the New Testament. The Greek word exagorezo is found four times, simply means to purchase. This is an intensive word that could be used to portray the redemption of a slave who was held by a slave master but has been gloriously set free. Praise God. The blood of Jesus is so precious today because it is the price that our Redeemer was willing to pay in order that we may go free. On the yard of a little church in Germany, there stands a statue of a lamb, and it has an interesting story to tell. A group of men were working on the roof of the church one day when one tripped and fell to the ground. Quickly, the other men ran down the ladder expecting to see him dead, but he was alive. As he fell to the ground, there was a lamb that was grazing below. The man fell on it and crushed the lamb. But the lamb that was crushed cushioned his fall, and he was able to recover with maybe a couple of broken bones, but he lived, and he was so grateful. He had a statue of a lamb erected in the very place where he fell, and it read, "A memorial to the crushed lamb." There's anything that we need to remember today. This is in essence what the gospel of Jesus is all about. It's about Jesus, the Lamb of God, that was crushed for us. It's about a Redeemer, a kinsman Redeemer that came to pay our sin debt. And it's about the giving of His own self on the cross, His own life on the cross, His death on the cross, in order that you and I might be saved. This is love beyond comprehension. This is love beyond compare. This is a love that is beyond explanation. But it's real. It's a love that passes knowledge, and it brings a peace that passes all understanding when we really grasp it. Hallelujah. It is authentic. Our God didn't just tell us He loved us. He showed us how much at the cross. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Psalm 103, verse 10 through 13, listen. It says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." Listen, God does not treat us as our sins required or we deserve. Our sins were deserving of punishment. Instead, we receive reward. We deserve death, but in its place we receive life, and that more abundantly. Jesus, the one who deserved glory, took our guilt and sin upon himself in order to redeem us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, God made him who had no sin. By the way, he didn't need to be born again. He never sinned. He became sin for us. Doesn't mean he became a sinner to save us. It means he became treated as if he had committed all the sins of the world in order to ransom you and me. He didn't need to be born again. God would have to. He was God incarnate. He was God in flesh. When you take that away from him, he's just a man like you and a man like us, a human being if you're a lady. He's just one of us. He was one of us according to the flesh. But inside him, amen, God was living and abiding. Praise God. And literally, God in flesh. And every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is Antichrist. Listen carefully. God made him to be sin for us that had no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. This is love. Love that cannot be measured, friend. Love that knows no limits was the reason. How far are the heavens above the earth? The heavens extend for untold millions of miles, and that's a number that in no way is descriptive of the infinite, no endlessness of space. If we can understand the limits of our universe, and we can understand God's love for us, I cannot. And I dare say that I don't know how much higher IQ you have, but I don't think you can get a hold of this. I cannot fully understand it, but I can receive it by faith and be thankful for it. Can I get an amen this morning? Andre Crouch wrote a beautiful song to express this. He said, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad that he did. Are you glad that he did today? Praise God. Friend, I'm so glad that he did. After spending 30 years in Burma, missionary Judson returned to America. His first address when he got back, he didn't talk about the graves of his wife and four children in Burma. He didn't talk about his imprisonment while he was there. He didn't talk about the number of churches he started or the number of converts. But he preached on Jesus, the sacrifice for man. Hallelujah. After the service, a woman came up to him and said, I was disappointed in your sermon. It was just ordinary. I expected more of a different message from across the world. Judson replied, I have nothing more thrilling to tell than the story of Jesus, our sacrifice lamb. Hallelujah. Friend, this is a story that should never, ever, ever grow old. Never, ever, ever. There's glory in this story. Amen. When I was growing up, my pastor had a radio broadcast, and he had a theme song that came on it. And I remember part of it. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I want to close today as we ponder just how precious the blood of Jesus is and just what it means to be redeemed as children of God today. To be saved is not just something, a title given to the person who's been forgiven. It is the condition of the person who was lost but now is found. Person who was bound but now is set free. Person who's been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Way back in 1739, Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, "How Can It Be?" Listen to what it said. "And can it be that I should gain an interest in our Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldest die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me?" You say, well, when did God die for us? You've got to understand who Jesus was. You've got to understand He was the second person of the Godhead while being very man. This is the great mystery of godliness. Amen. While being very man, He was at the same time very God. And the Scripture said, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ, redeeming us to Himself. Hallelujah. Listen to the next verse. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart set free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee." Christian today, if you're not living in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, you're not receiving all that He has redeemed you from and redeemed you to. He wants you to be free from Satan's influence. He wants you to be free from sin's dominion. Hallelujah. He wants you to be free to serve God. Hallelujah. And serve Him with joy and gladness and victory. And to give all the glory for every victory to the One who paid in full the ransom so we could be free. Free from the fear of the judgment to come. Oh, friend of mine, what's it worth today? What is this Redeemer worth today? Is He worth denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Him? Amazing love. Astounding love. How can it be that Thou, my God, would die for me? You know, the Bible said if the princes of this world had known, not talking about the kings and queens and monarchs, the Bible said our argument is with powers and principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And if those principalities, those satanic hierarchy of demonic forces and fallen angels, and the devil himself, if they had known God's salvation plan, they never dreamed in their wildest dreams that God, who we had offended, who we had sinned against, who Satan had claimed could be delivered from His prison house of darkness, because this God who was obligated to judge us because of sin devised a way to save us from sin's consequences, to save us from ourselves, to save us from Satan, who is hell-bent on our destruction. He came, laden, the second person of the Godhead who said, "I'm one with the Father," a triune God, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, took on flesh in a manger so he could hang on a cross as a man, full grown, paying a sin debt he didn't know, so we could go free. Oh, friend, let's rejoice in our redemption, and greater than that, let's rejoice in our Redeemer. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you will come to Him today. He's paid a price, so you don't have to fear the judgment to come or face the judgment to come. He's paid your sin debt. Would you come to Him today? Would you receive the gift of forgiveness by repenting of your sin, receiving Jesus as your Savior, and being reconciled to God in Jesus' name?